Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free.
Over the past week, I have been exploring some of the connections because, as you all know, my favorite sentences are everything is connected. Nothing is random. There are no coincidences, and everything has a plan, and all plans are based on lies. So if we kind of follow that as the fact information, then who is really running this show? Where are these directives coming from that all of a sudden the whole world in unison is following a group of people? Who are these people and why are we even following them? You are listening to Karen Schoen. This is the Prism of America's Education, and we're brought to you live on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance. And I have a very special guest today, Alex Newman, my go-to person when it comes to connecting the dots, because nobody understands more than Alex what is actually happening in today's society. Alex is a wonderful person. Aside from that, his knowledge of what is happening today is continual. And he shares that information. Alex was a world traveler. He traveled all over the world. He knows exactly what globalism is all about. He is a journalist. He is a first-class speaker, and he is highly involved in education, bringing the truth about what is going on with education. Welcome to the show, Alex. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Karen, and thank you for that kind introduction. It's great to be with you.
It is always a pleasure to have you. Alex, I've been doing a lot of work on trying to connect who these people are. And what I'm finding is that it seems that it's the same people over and over and over again, pushing their idea of how we should live. Am I wrong?
No, you're exactly right. And I think at this point, the coincidence theorists are starting to look rather ridiculous. I mean, you can only believe in so many coincidences and so much stupidity before you finally have to say, wait a minute here, maybe this stuff isn't a coincidence. Wait a minute here. These people are not stupid. And, you know, our Secretary of War almost 100 years ago said something interesting. He said, consistency has never been the mark of stupidity. If these people in the State Department were merely stupid, occasionally they would make a mistake in our favor. And yet, of course, that never seems to happen. That's what we're dealing with today, right? If this was all just random, if this was all just a coincidence, if this was all just, idiots in Washington, D.C. who were incompetent, every once in a while, there'd be an accident and something good would happen for Americans, right? We'd get lower gas prices. We'd get more efficient supply chains. We'd get better schools. But nope, it never happens. It's always continually downward. And that's because it's orchestrated, Karen. During the Trump era, a term that became very popular, the deep state kind of entered the public lexicon. And at this point, almost all Americans recognize we have a deep state. The polling data shows that over 3/4 of Americans understand that. But what I do in my book about this subject on the deep state is go even deeper than just the superficial, there's some bad bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. behind the scenes. This is highly significant, highly coordinated, and there is a plan. There is a method to the madness, and you see it reflected in what's going on in the government schools. You see it reflected in our foreign policy. You see it reflected in what's happening to our currency, and it's incredibly dangerous.
So these people, you have reported have an actual plan that they have put in place, which probably started about 60, 70 years ago. Not that it just started, but it started becoming visible. And that was in the 60s. And these people have just continued exactly what they started then, and they are continuing it today. And their goal was not to make brilliant Americans where everyone worked to their highest potential. No, that was not the idea. The idea was mediocrity, to make everyone equal, not even equal, to make everything equitable. Could you explain what that means, Alex, when you make everything equitable?
Well, it's a fundamental value that is fundamentally opposed to American values. So under the guise of pursuing equality, they are eliminating freedom. Now, they're happy to eliminate freedom under any pretext, but they've realized that using the rallying cry of equality tends to get more useful idiots lined up behind them. And I say this, and for some people this is controversial, but free people cannot be equal, and equal people cannot be free. That is a fact of life. That is an axiomatic truth that, if you stop and think about it, is obvious. It's self-evident. Now, I'm not talking, of course, about equality under the law. Our Constitution guarantees us all equality of the law under the law, as it should. I'm talking about equality in the sense that these totalitarians are pushing it. And of course, I should point out as well that the people at the highest levels pushing this agenda don't really believe in equality. Fidel Castro was constantly blabbering about equality, and yet a guy I went to high school with, his uncle sold Fidel Castro a $20 million yacht, right? That's not equality in the sense that they preach it. But when I say that you can't be free and equal, I mean that in the most literal sense. If you are free, you will, by definition, be unequal with some people. You can then use your freedom. Some people will want to work 20 hours a week, and they'll be satisfied living a very modest lifestyle and living in a small house and driving an older car. And that's fine, right? If that's what works for them, that's what works for them. It's a free country. Free people have the right to decide what they want to do. Now, if you're a workaholic and you want to work 90 hours a week, you are going to live materially better. You're going to probably earn more money. You're going to have a nicer house. You're going to drive a newer car. You're going to get more promotions at work. That's just the nature of freedom. Some people will want to go into highly lucrative professions. Other people would rather go into not so lucrative professions. Some people would rather spend their free time going to church, going to synagogue, gardening, hunting, playing basketball. Other people would rather spend their free time doing political activism or playing board games, right? The thing about free people, when everybody is free to choose, when everybody's free to exercise their God-given talents and abilities, there will, by definition, be inequality. And that's just the nature of choice. People will make different choices if they're free to make choices. And so this crazy rallying cry that we all need equality and equity, what they're really talking about is equality of outcomes. And you can only guarantee equality of outcomes if you completely eliminate freedom. And again, I think it's important to emphasize this, Karen. I can't emphasize it strongly enough. The people behind the scenes pushing this narrative have absolutely no intention of being equal with you. They're billionaires. They hide their money in tax-exempt foundations. They fly private jets. They have no intention of letting you have a private jet. In fact, they say that your 2006 SUV that's hardly running anymore is a threat to the climate, and you need to ride your bike, right? Or get yourself a Tesla. So these people have no intention of actually being equal with you. This is just a silly rallying cry that's being used on low information voters to get them to surrender their freedom.
Oh, you are so right. And when I hear them talking about equality, I usually say, okay, after you, what are right. you doing? Let me see you do it first. You do it first, and I'll be happy to donate. I'll be happy to do. How much are you giving? And yet we find that people on the top give the least. Why? If the world is so filled with poverty and hunger, well, why doesn't Gates or Schwab or any of these billionaires donate $1 billion to stop world hunger? Really, because they really have no intention of stopping world hunger. Because if they stopped world hunger, how could they come to us and say, we have to fight world hunger and you have to give up your money in order to be able to do that? Doesn't work that way, folks. These people are really, truly evil. And if you look at the connections, all the connections are the same. They're all the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Chan Zuckerberg Foundation, the NoHo Foundation, Novo Foundation, Patrick McCormick Foundation, all of these different foundations. And what do? They create more NGOs, non-government offices, non-government organizations. They fund these organizations and send these organizations out into a country like America and spread their vicious lies, because that's really all they are, telling you you have to do more for less. Just like Alex said, go ride your bike. I think it would be really nice if we took that idea, Alex, went to our county commissioners, and when they start talking about this nonsense, ask them for their keys. Tell them we're no longer going to support their car expenses. We'll give them a bike. Won't that save the county a lot of money? Oh, I think that would be wonderful. I wonder what they would say as an answer to that one, Alex. You think they'll get on their bike in, 105 degree weather in Florida? Can't you see Granny riding her bike?
We should ask John Kerry about that, because, you know, he recently received the Global Climate Award for being such a hero of the climate, and the ceremony was in Iceland. And so this guy gets on his private jet to go pick up his Climate Warrior Award. I kid you not. And this is the attitude. And actually, a reporter asked about this. You went to go get your climate award on a private jet? Oh, well, you know, people like us. It's very much like Animal Farm. You know, it's kind of cliche, but it is very much like Animal Farm. These people are better than us. They're superior to us. And I see this, Karen. I go to these UN Global Warming Summits almost every year. And the hypocrisy is so thick, you could cut it with a knife. You've got thousands of these goober faces flying into these exotic, sweet, you know, resort destinations in their private jets. They get picked up by a fleet of bulletproof limousines with heavily armed guards everywhere. They come in and they feast on steak and caviar and Wagyu beef and whatever stuff. And then they lecture us about how we're destroying the planet because we have three children or four children, and we are driving polluting SUVs, and we are air conditioning our homes in the blistering Florida summer. It's the very definition of hypocrisy. And anytime you come near these power brokers that you see on TV lecturing us about how terrible we are for the planet, what you'll find is massive hypocrites. All the big names: Al Gore, Michael Bloomberg, John Kerry. I mean, these people literally fly around the globe in their private jets. They get off and they get on their luxury yachts that burn more fuel than an average American family would burn in a decade. These yachts burn that in a day. And then they have the nerve to lecture us about how we're destroying the planet. Meanwhile, we can assuage our guilt. We can buy indulgences for our climate sins if we'll just pay for carbon credits from Al Gore's company so he can buy another private jet. It would be comical if it wasn't so incredibly disgusting, Karen.
It is. And these people are disgusting, and they will use anything to gain control. Now, here's another question, Alex. Here we are in America being told that we're going to have mandates again. We're going to have mask mandates. We're going to have vaccine mandates. And a new strain of COVID is going to be coming around. COVID is like a flu. It is nothing more than that. And forcing people into these extreme measures. Why are they doing that? Because they're saying, oh my goodness, we're in the middle of a pandemic. We have to take care of our citizens. Oh, we have to all be protected against each other. And then they're lifting Title 42 on the border so that anybody can come in from any country. Have these people been tested? Do they have vaccines? Do they have to wear masks? No. So the hypocrisy is absurd because nobody asks the right question. How can you lift Title 42 on the border and then keep it in place in the cities? Does that make sense, Alex?
No, it's more of the hypocrisy. See, it doesn't serve the interests of the deep state, the establishment, to have health controls at the U.S. border, because that might slow down the tsunami of illegal immigration that is pouring into this country for very subversive and sinister purposes. These are future Democrat voters. You see, they've alienated their own voter base, and they've aborted their own voter base out of existence. And so now they're realizing, oh, my goodness, we're going to lose power catastrophically if we ever have a legitimate election in this country. Quick, bring in more Democrats. And so they put out advertisements all over the world saying, hey, come into America. You get free stuff. Don't have to worry about, educating your kids. You get free health care. You get a debit card when we drop you off on the bus and put you up in a hotel room. Right. And then we'll get you eventually on a pathway to amnesty and then citizenship so that you can vote for everyone and we can make America into California. In that instance, health checks don't serve the interests of the establishment, because that would slow down the flow of future Democrat voters. But on the COVID front, the lockdowns, the face diapers, the school closures, the vaccine mandates, all of those things do serve the interests of the elite. And so then we are relentlessly hounded until we comply. We are demonized as threats to public health if we don't comply with these crazy agendas. And we're told that it's all for our own benefit. But again, if you just look at the very same things that these people are saying, what you'll find is that they're lying all the time. These people exist in a universe of cognitive dissonance, right? You see this in everything, Karen. Another really obvious example that we saw of exactly this type of behavior, exactly this type of cognitive dissonance, you must take your COVID-19 injection because it's going to prevent you from getting COVID. And then you're a bad person if you don't take it, because you're risking giving other people who have already taken the injection COVID. So you can't believe both of those two things at the same time and have a logically consistent worldview, a logically consistent framework for understanding the world. Either you believe the vaccine works and you're not at risk if you've taken it, or you don't believe the vaccine works and then you're at risk whether someone else has taken it or not. But somehow CNN and some of the other fake news outlets have convinced a huge number of Americans, millions, to believe two things that are inherently contradictory, two ideas that contradict each other. And yet these people, millions of them, hold these two beliefs at the very same time. It's a marvelous little magic trick that the elites have played on us. And thanks to the assistance of the dumbing down in government schools for the last few generations, they've been able to dupe millions of people with this.
And so they do. How do you fool? How do you get millions of people to follow you? You lie to them constantly. And that's exactly what they're doing. You have a wonderful website, Alex, called the Liberty Sentinel. And I was on there the other day and I noticed that you had an interview with Dr. Malone. Did he shed any light on what this is really all about with these vaccines?
Well, Dr. Malone is a really interesting guy. I've spent some time with him. I've interviewed him sometimes. We've had him for The New American. I had him on my show, The Sentinel Report. And what he said in my most recent interview with him was he was just looking at the British government data. It tells a fascinating tale. The British government, after that interview, just very recently decided they weren't going to publish the data anymore, because it showed that they were all a bunch of liars. And that not only are we owed a refund and an apology, there ought to be people in jail for massive, systematic, and deliberate fraud. But what he did was he looked at this British data that showed you were far more likely to get COVID, you were far more likely to end up in the hospital with COVID, and you were far more likely to die of COVID if you took these injections, which is, of course, exactly the opposite of what they told us. And this is the British government's data, okay? This isn't like just some random conspiracy theory on a blog. This is the British government's data. British government has some of the best data in the world on these issues, because everybody's part of the government's healthcare system. They know exactly who's taken an injection, how many injections they've taken, what their health outcome is, when they checked into the hospital, when they died, et cetera, et cetera. They've got a centralized mechanism to keep track of all this. And the British data showed conclusively that if you had taken these injections, you were at far more risk of COVID, far more risk of going to the hospital, and far more risk of dying. Now we've got the documents from the FDA proving that that Pfizer and the other companies knew all of this. And so Dr. Malone was saying, look, we told you, right? We warned you not to take these things. So for those who don't know, Dr. Malone is the inventor of the mRNA technology that was used for these injections. He didn't invent the injections themselves, but he invented the technology that made them possible. And he's been sounding the alarm from the beginning. He's a highly, highly credible source of information. Again, he's not even anti-vax. He's far more pro-vaccine than, say, somebody like me would be. But he's been very honest about this. And so we actually just recently did a cover story for The New American. He did one part and I did the other. He did his piece on the Great Reset and how this COVID madness was being used to usher in the Great Reset and how these injections were a big part of that. I did my piece on the progress that the deep state made in their war on freedom. But for those who haven't followed Dr. Malone's work, I highly recommend it. He really is one of the leading and most credible voices on this. And he's also the guy who broke the internet when he went on Joe Rogan's podcast, the most listened to podcast in all of human history. And of course, the establishment went into a panic, but it's very good that he's speaking out. So
it is. We need more. Definitely we need more Dr. Malones. We need more people to speak out, because their ability to do marketing is unbelievable, as they have corralled and captured all of the media. But it's worse than that. They are now, of course, as we know, no matter what we do, they are in our schools. And all I can say right now is thank you, Governor DeSantis, because I just read that the math books, math, folks, is also now involved with CRT, and that's critical race theory and social emotional learning through math. How does that work, Alex? That is unreal.
Yeah, well, and the social emotional learning has now infiltrated absolutely everything, Karen. I was actually the first one that I know of that did an in-depth critical look at social emotional learning. I did a major piece for the Epoch Times, now the fourth largest newspaper in the country. And I was amazed that nobody had pulled this information out, because it was pretty easy to find. I just went to Castle's website. Castle is the Collaborative for Academic Social Emotional Learning. It's the main SEL group. It's funded by Bill Gates and all the rest of the clowns. And right there on their website, they tell you, hey, the history of this. We came up with the idea at the Fetzer Institute, which is, of course, a new age occult institute where they still sing praises to Alice Bailey and they recite her, weirdo incantations and stuff. Alice Bailey, of course, was the founder of the Lucifer Publishing Company. And so when you dig into SEL, what it really is, it's a strategy to more successfully and more effectively brainwash children. And a big part of that is getting them to stop thinking reasonably, stop thinking logically, and start thinking emotionally. How does that make you feel, honey? Very much like Pavlov's dog. So you get these conditioned responses, these conditioned emotional responses to trigger words or trigger ideas. And so what the schools are quite literally doing now is they're conditioning these school children, very much like a circus trainer would condition a circus animal or a dog trainer would condition a dog to respond in a certain way to a certain stimulus. And so they get these children and they get them to be triggered by certain ideas, like you say, border security. And just like Pavlov's dog, they'll start salivating and racism, hatred, Donald Trump. They're not even actually thinking about what you're saying. It's just a conditioned response. And that's what SEL does. It degrades our children into being quite literally, circus animals, behavioral modification is what it is. And they're using it for absolutely horrific purposes. They're using it to weaponize the next generation of young people into becoming warriors against the country, against the Constitution, against the older generations, against the liberties that were enshrined in our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence. And it's hard to overemphasize the magnitude of this threat, Karen. It's huge.
It is huge. And folks, it doesn't only just come up in school. The other day, I was filling out a questionnaire for a health plan that I was looking at. And at the end of the survey questions, there was a question. It said, how did you feel about answering the survey questions? How did I feel? What has that got to do with my trying to get information on a health program? They're not just using it in school. They are forcing us to deal emotionally on just about everything that we do. And a country that is based on emotion, not fact, cannot exist. You can't base things on emotion only. It's one-sided. most of the time never makes sense and never fits what is the reality of what's happening. And this is how they get us. They get us to believe into these things. Folks, if you have not seen the libertysentinel.org, Alex's website, and the New American, also his website, please do so. Alex, tell everyone where they can find you, because this is so important. That, and also we have to give a plug for homeschooling. Kids must be taken out of school. The only way to tackle these monsters is the same way they tackle us: money. You want to stop, have your kids stop going to public school, then there's no money. Then they'll feel the pinch. Wouldn't that be amazing? Alex, exactly, where can everyone find you?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you there, Karen. I think it's one of the most critical battles that we're facing, and it's one of the simplest things that an average American can do to help preserve our liberty, to help preserve our heritage as a free nation, is to just get your kids out. You know, we can't really decide what's going on in Washington, right? We're one vote in one district, in one congressional district out of, hundreds in this country. And so we can't stop what's happening in Washington, D.C. We can't even stop what's happening in Tallahassee or, you know, whatever your state capital is. But one thing that we can do, that every family has the power to do, is get your children out of the indoctrination centers and make sure they're getting a good education. So one of the many things I do, Karen, I serve as the executive director of Public School Exit. So people who want help with that, just go to publicschoolexit.com. We've got free consultations. We've got partnerships with private schools. We've got all the instructions that you need to go ahead and make the right choice. We've got one of our board members, a former student superintendent of public instruction for the state of Arizona, researched all the state laws so that you can check up what your state requires there if you want to pull your children out and homeschool. So that's one of the things I do. My personal website, Karen, is libertysentinel.org. That's libertysentinel, S-E-N-T-I-N-E-L.org. I'm also the senior editor at the New American Magazine. You can find us at thenewamerican.com. And of course, it's also a print magazine that comes out twice every month. Like I said, Dr. Robert Malone and I both did the cover story for the most recent issue. And you can read those online as well. If you go to thenewamerican.com, they're still up for now. And so those are some of the things I do. And of course, I'm a regular on your program here, Karen, and I so appreciate all that you do. Thank you very much for having me. And thank you so much for continuing to sound the alarm and for all your efforts to protect children from evil indoctrination.
And boy, folks out there, is nothing other than evil. Alex mentioned Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey, most of you don't know, was part, she created the Luciferian Trust, and that trust helped to create the United Nations. And if you go to the United Nations building in New York, although I don't know why anybody would want to go there anymore, you will find artifacts of hers in the United Nations. So do you honestly think that the United Nations is a good place for America to allow to dictate to Americans how we should act and behave and what we should be doing? They're based on Lucifer. Just always remember that, folks. And you are all listening to The Prism of America's Education, brought to you live on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network with my wonderful guest, Alex Newman. Thank you all for listening. Don't go away. We will be right back.
You've been in that situation. The person next to you is sniffling, or worse yet, coughing. Flu, cold, and coronaviruses are everywhere. Wouldn't it be great if you had a way to reduce these threats with an invisible mask as an additional layer of protection? Sold by hundreds of pharmacists and medical doctors, our American-made povidone iodine antiviral nasal spray, Cofix RX, lasts for hours deactivating viruses and germs while protecting you from airborne pathogens that make us sick. America Out Loud listeners get 20% off. Use Cofix RX while in large groups, while traveling, or for any other type of high-risk situation as an additional layer of protection to help reduce your likelihood of catching a cold, the flu, or SARS-CoV-2 viruses. Right now, America Out Loud listeners get 20% off of all orders. Click our banner ad on AmericaOutLoud.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Let the silent voices be heard. It was the rallying call that started it all. It's a wide spectrum of programming, from world and political news to societal and cultural stories. 6 amazing years of news blogs, informative podcasts, and great talk radio. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
In today's world, there's no escaping the headlines filled with warnings about emerging viruses and dangerous superbugs. Genesis is the only technology that safely and effectively obliterates harmful pathogens both in the air and on surfaces. Genesis plus HOCL neutralize these threats to your environment in just seconds. Find out more about this amazing technology at genesisfogger.com/outloud for a 15% discount. With Genesis, you'll be prepared for what's next.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Karen Schoen. You're listening to The Prism of America's Education, brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance, who has been doing amazing work. You have seen some of the results with what Governor DeSantis has been exposing that has been coming through in our Florida education. What a criminal enterprise that has become. Before I go any further, I did want to mention Alex, who was our last guest. Alex Newman just shared with me that he is considering running for State House in Florida. He was too modest to say it when he was on the show before, but I'm going to say it now. Please go to Liberty Sentinel and support Alex. You have heard him numerous times on this show. He has not wavered, he has not faltered, and he believes 100% that there is absolute a disgrace going on in the Department of Non-Education. That is what we have, folks. We are not teaching our children anything of meaning. Nothing. And I can tell you nothing from being a former teacher. I want to give you a very brief background because people don't realize that all of these things are connected, as I always say. In order for Agenda 21 to work, or any of these egregious green agendas that we have now in America, it had to start someplace, and it started in school. And it started way, way back, probably in about the 30s, but I'm not going to go back that far. Let's go just back to the 80s. In 1989, a woman by the name of Shirley McCune from the McReel Foundation in the Midwest went to the Governors Association, and Bill Clinton was the president of the Governors Association. George Bush 41 was the president of America. And Shirley said that education must be changed. Education was no longer supposed to deal with facts. Education, not dealing with facts, was supposed to focus on value. Whose value? Certainly not our parents' value. It was an educator's value. Education was also not to focus anymore on the individual, but they were supposed to focus on the collective. As soon as I heard that word, the collective, I knew that something was amiss, because America is based on individual freedom and liberty, not a collective group of people, which our forefathers knew that once you start dealing with collectives, you create class warfare. And that's exactly what's happening. Today, they're calling it race, but it's the same thing. It's really class warfare, the haves against the have-nots, and pushing the have-nots further and further down. The other thing that Shirley said, which really got me, was that education was not supposed to be based on fact anymore. Education was supposed to be focused on training. And what are they doing right now? They are training our students to be emotionally triggered every single time they hear a word they don't like. And they will go sit in the corner and go to their safe spaces and become little snowflakes of useless information. How sad is that? What are we doing to our children? Well, one of the things that I learned when I was teaching is that college is not cracked up what it was supposed to be. College didn't really prepare me to be a teacher. I had to do that by myself. Yes, I had the factual information, but when it came down to actually interacting in a classroom, college did me absolutely no good. They were teaching one thing and forgetting about what was going on in the real world and in reality. College was not what it was supposed to be. And on that occasion, I have had the opportunity to be introduced to a wonderful gentleman by the name of Bruce Goodmanson, who actually wrote a book, 100% Success Without College. I thought that was so intriguing that I asked Bruce to join me today and to share that information. What exactly does he mean? Because our students are being told, you must go to college, you must go to college, rack up that debt. Why do you think they have to rack up that debt? So that they will be able to afford nothing and everybody else will be happy. That's the way it will work. We don't want that to happen. Our students are too valuable to become some of the most successful humans in America. And we want that to happen, not another group of know-nothing idiots that are focused on sex and sexual information rather than what actually makes their life worthwhile. Bruce, thank you so much for joining me today. What prompted you to write that book?
Well, thank you, Karen. I worked a number of years ago for a bankruptcy law firm. And this young lady came bouncing into the office. She was so happy with life. Her job was to basically find out where the hurt of our clients are, where they're hurting at. And so we had a little brief discussion. And then I learned that her debt was amounted to $220,000. And it was all student loan. And she gained that debt for the privilege of being a high school guidance counselor. So here she was sitting in my office and she was getting ready to what she thought was to bankrupt on this debt. And lo and behold, I told her, do you realize that you can never, ever bankrupt on a student loan? And this lady's countenance just dropped significantly. And furthermore, we learned that she was going to be starting at a salary of $42,000 a year. Well, that wasn't going to cut it because her monthly student loan payment was going to amount to $2,300. So here she was trained to be a guidance counselor, Karen. And yet she, in all her training, she didn't even know that she couldn't bankrupt on a student loan. And now she can't even work for as a guidance counselor. So I wrote a white paper on the student debt for our clients. And then I thought, what other opportunities that are out there that could be basically a great opportunity to avoid the college experience or the college debt and gain a great education and a great training? And lo and behold, I found this wonderful world that was outside of college. And so I wrote this book that basically serves as an encyclopedia of career training opportunities that are offered outside the college arena. And I found out that basically college is of no value to 85% of our nation's workforce. Again, that's 85%. We think maybe the other way, that maybe 85% of our workforce has a college degree. It's just not so. And in fact, out of 100 students who are accepted into college, 50 of them are going to drop out. And of the remaining 50 students who do graduate, 30 of them will end up in jobs they could have gotten straight out of high school. And note this, there are roughly 30,000 occupations to choose from. Yet the typical university offers roughly 85 majors. That's it, just 85 careers to choose from out of 30,000. And this is why, Karen, when kids get on campus, for the majority of them, they are undeclared. They haven't declared a major. And for the first 2 years, they're kind of in this limbo where they're walking about trying to figure themselves out and trying to figure out what course is going to be or what major is going to be the best for them. Well, then their junior year hits, and right before it, they have to declare a major. And so they do so. And after they do so, they get into this program they really don't have a love for, not a passion for. Then they graduate 2 to 4 years later, and then they're out in the real world, and they're going, what on earth did I just do? And why did I get this debt for this degree that I just don't appreciate? And understand this too, 36% of those college students will not demonstrate any significant improvement in learning or in skills over 4 years of college. This means that a third of our college graduates will be no better off or better prepared or better skilled than the day when they stepped on campus as freshmen. And I call that, Karen, a waste of life and a waste of tuition.
I would agree with you on that one. And as you were speaking, I was beginning to remember my background, which of course many of our listeners are much younger than I am. But my grandparents and my family, my grandparents had only an eighth grade education. My father had only a high school education, as my mother. But one of the things that they were definitely involved with was reading. And from what you're saying, these kids are going to college, they can't work, they can't read, they can't write, and college is not helping them. So how do they get ahead? How does that happen?
Let me help you with that, Karen, because there was two fascinating reports that came out. One report showed that compared to other students of other nations, our students academically are now ranked 26th internationally. 26.
That's horrible.
China is ranked number one. And by the way, China pays or pays for their children's education half of what we do. So here we have our kids are ranked 26, which means that our teachers are also ranked 26 internationally. On top of this, the Nation Report Card came out and declared that 71% of our nation's high school graduates are not proficient in reading, writing, math, science, and U.S. history. So these kids, they come on a college campus, and for the most part, they're immature, and they don't have the skills they need to really succeed at college, and they administration knows that. And so for the past few decades, they have created basically a 50% decline in the time a student needs to spend in research and study hours. And they've done this, Karen, because they realize that these tuitions are so high that they have to do everything in their power to induce these immature kids to stay on campus. And so what they do is they basically remove the rigor that once used to be there. And then they give these kids an average grade of A now. A is now the average grade that's given out there. And yet these kids, they come out and they're so unprepared that the Harvard Business Review reported that 53% of college graduates did not apply to an entry-level job in their field of study because they felt unqualified.
Oh my God. This was worse than what I even imagined, and I knew that it was bad. When you graduate students and they cannot read and write and have no ability to think, to manage common sense, responsibility, all of the things that should have been taught in elementary school. What are these kids focused on? Some form of sexual deviant behavior, because that's what the teachers are pushing. And the teachers are pushing that because the administration, when the federal administration got highly involved in education during the Obama years, which was totally illegal, and yet nobody took that to court. There are statutes that say that the federal government may never get involved in curricula. And what did they do? They got involved in Race to the Top. What was Race to the Top? Race to the Top was a way for the states to compete in a process using an educational forum called Common Core. Common Core, the name of it even means common. Everyone common must do the same thing, must be in the same position. And I noticed, Bruce, now they are taking away all of the measuring tools of comparison between students because of diversity. So they feel that it's unfair if one student knows how to read and others don't. So they all don't know how to read, to make it fair for everyone. How does that work, Bruce? How do people get ahead? How do they learn anything? They can't. And yet they are popped right into college.
It doesn't. And I have been telling parents for ages now that you will not be able to solve the public education system within its ranks. You will need to pull your kids out of the public education system. On top of that, you will need to keep your kids out of college. Think of it this way, Karen. Think of basically maybe 50 trade school programs, 50 of them, any 50 of them, like banking or diesel mechanics or x-ray technician, plumbing, insurance, heating and air, shipbuilding. Think of 50 trade or apprenticeship programs out there, and every single one of them will prepare a student upon graduation with a job skill, every single one of them. And yet, on the other side of the coin, think of 50 college majors. How many of those 50 can you tell me that when a young man or a young woman graduates, that they will have a wonderful job skill just as valuable?
I couldn't agree more. And folks, if you don't think that what we're saying is correct, I challenge you, ask your student, ask your child to read to you. And if you're a grandparent, have your grandkids read to you. You will be appalled at the way they cannot read. Now think about this. I don't have children, but I'm a taxpayer. And I want my students, I want the kids that my taxes are going for to be the best and the brightest, because that's how America succeeds. If our students aren't the best and the brightest, how can America be the best and the brightest? It can't. So Bruce is 100% right. Get your kids out of those public indoctrination, garbage, government centers, because that's all they are. They are not teaching your child anything. They are training them like little puppies. Oh, you did something good. Here's a treat. You did something nice. Here's a treat. That's not education, folks. That is not education at all. That's not learning. And that certainly is not preparing your child for anything in life. Yet all of these jobs that Bruce is describing are necessary. How would we exist if we didn't have people to fix things, people to do things, people to service things? How would we exist? We wouldn't. And those jobs pay incredibly well and are definitely necessary for the building blocks of America, because this is where all of the innovation comes from. American innovation comes from somebody taking something and making it better. We don't have that anymore, do we, Bruce?
Well, we don't, except for corporate America is now realizing that college is a waste of time, and so they're turning to community colleges. For example, in our area in Arizona, we have Boeing, Cisco, Apple, and Intel, who have made alliances with 10 community colleges here within the Valley. And when these young men and young women graduate from these job skills, they have a direct line to these companies to be employed. And this is what is happening, a transition in American education right now. Because again, corporate America doesn't want what's coming out of the college environment. So this is why I wrote this book, and it covers everything, Karen. It goes into trade schools and blue and white collar apprenticeships and cyber boot camps, entrepreneuring, sales, corporate universities straight into the workforce after high school, community colleges, and so much more. It helps a parent to basically get a well-rounded vision of all the opportunities that are out there. Because my point is, how can a young man or a young woman fall in love with a career if they don't know that the career exists? So this book is just jam-packed of opportunities that are out there. For example, where do our nation's professional baseball umpires get their training? I mean, maybe Karen out there, there's a parent who has a son that just loves and eats and drinks and dies for baseball, but he will never be good enough to play the game. But he could still participate as a professional umpire if he knew that the training exists. And so this is the point of the book, is to say these opportunities are out there and they're in vast numbers, and you're going to earn a great fortune off of these opportunities, just as well as any other individual who graduates from college.
When I was a mortgage banker, I met with multiple entrepreneurs who were starting businesses and, of course, looking for money, looking for funding. And I asked them, as they progress in their business, what was the most important thing that they would be looking for in an employee? They all said the same thing. We need somebody who can read and follow directions. That's what this is all about. And if your child is leaving school and cannot read and write, how can they read and follow directions? How can they advance and get ahead? If your school is not teaching your child how to read, write, and do math, which they are not, get them out of those schools. Again, get them out of those schools, because your child is not learning anything. And I think that was, if we have to say, the bright side of COVID, was a wake-up call to parents as they actually began to see what was going on in the indoctrination of their children. They never thought of it before because they were taught to leave everything in the hands of the teacher, and the teacher will take care of everything. Well, your teacher is not going to take care of anything, not in today's society, because when I was teaching, what I used to do is ask the kids what they liked. What was it that turned them on? What was it that got them excited, that got them motivated to get out of bed in the morning? You would be shocked at the answers. And then I would have them get books and magazines involving in that field that they were interested in. And guess what? They could read, they could write, they could do math, because they were doing something that they were interested in. That's the whole key to education and learning. If you get a child and they are interested in a certain thing and you promote that item with them, you have a home run for your kids. So, Bruce, what can you tell our listeners that they should be doing to help their children, help their grandchildren succeed? And I like your first thing is get those kids out of those public indoctrination clinics.
Well, there are three things your parents and grandparents can give to their children, and that is their faith, their love, and the finest education possible. And understand, mom and dad, if you fail at these opportunities, good chance is that your kids are going to be living in your basement for a long, long time, because they just won't have the personable skills to survive in the workforce. And so again, this is the purpose of my book, is to say, take a year off, learn these things out of high school, and learn how to read well and how to write well and how to speak well before you go into a career opportunity. And then when your son or daughter is prepared, have them explore everything. For example, what chef school has the nation's best placement program? And if your young adult is thinking about being a chef, let's not limit them to basically working in a restaurant. Let's also expand the opportunity, such as our nation's zoos needs chefs who are skilled at preparing meals for certain dietary needs of animals. Our nuclear submarines need chefs. And I'm telling you, these nuclear submarine chefs, they make a pretty good fortune. And then there's personal chefs who walk into a person's home to prepare a meal in the family's kitchen. So there are opportunities inside of opportunities. And this is the awareness that parents have to have in their minds and in their hearts, because you've got to understand, Karen, the high school guidance counselor since the 60s focused everything on college. Parents and students were given basically the fear of death, that if their son or daughter didn't go to a college, that they will fail at the American dream. Well, of course, that was a lie. It was a huge lie. I know of millionaires, the majority of our nation's millionaires are plumbers and heating and air conditioning individuals. We've got a family right now that we just spoke to yesterday, and they started a few years ago to make sure
Exterminators,
that's it. They started this a few years ago, and now they're making about $500,000 to $700,000 a year, just killing bugs. And so and here's the thing, mom and dad. Mostly what moms and dads and grandparents do is they tell their kids to enjoy their youth and play. Right now, we've got young men who, by the age of 21, on average, will have played 10,000 hours worth of video games. That's 3.4 years of their life. But I'm trying to say to mom and dad, look, if you teach them to work, I mean to outwork their employer, their boss, they're going to get ahead in life. And if they work hard in their youth, by the time they're around 40 years old, they have got a business that has started, and they've got enough savings that are in the bank that they can really start enjoying life and start to play a little bit more. I mean, right now we've got 3.5 million jobs with a median income of 92,000 that are going unfulfilled at this moment because we don't have enough trained technicians.
That is an absolute waste of life. And that is what is happening all over in our country, because our students are not being fulfilled as they are going to school. They are only learning emotion. They are not learning fact, and you cannot run a country on emotion. You have to run a country, a business, a life on factual information. And that is what is lacking in our schools. Bruce, we only have a couple of minutes left, so please tell everyone where they can find you and where they can find this wonderful book.
Well, Karen, they can go to anythingbutcollege.com. Anythingbutcollege.com. You'll come to our website. It's beautiful. It has a cute video. You all need to watch it. It really opens up your mind. It gives you all the chapter headings. It gives you wonderful quotes from the book to really ponder on. And it's just a wonderful encyclopedia of opportunities that are out there, of career training opportunities, again, that are offered outside the college arena. And it goes into everything: sales, entrepreneuring, trade schools, vocational, you name it, it's all there.
One of the most beautiful gifts that you can give a child is the ability to read. This is the most important thing that they can learn, because any person that cannot read is forever a slave of someone who has to interpret for them. And this is never what we want for our children or our country. Thank you so much, Bruce, for joining me today. And folks, I hope you have an incredible week. Give a gift to your child, give a gift to your grandchild, and teach them to read. Get them out of those public schools. Go to publicschoolexit.com. That's Alex's website. Our future is our children. And if they can't read, what is the future of America? Is America worth saving? Only you can answer that. And hopefully your answer is yes. And if it is, what are you going to do about it? Tune in next week. This is Karen Schoen. You're listening to The Prism of America's Education, brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance. Have a wonderful week. But I'll always stand proud and free. I'm America. Don't tread on me. I'm America. Yes, America.